How's it going, CJ? How was your weekend?
It was good. Things got a little busy around here with Austin Matthews getting injured. So everyone went on DEFCON 100 in Toronto. And so I've been working through the weekend, but life is good out here.
Yeah, we didn't notice that the sky was falling over the Maple Leafs after Austin Matthews went down with another shoulder injury. But in all seriousness, what is the immediate reaction that comes out of this? And how much leverage does William Nylander gain out of this in their contract negotiations?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple ways to look at it. I mean, first and foremost, there's some concern for Austin because, you know, the team has said he'll be out at least 4 weeks. But, you know, I think it's going to be a little bit longer than that. So, you know, it's a pretty big stretch of games without a guy who looked like he was going to be able to could potentially challenge for an NHL scoring title, certainly one of the best scorers in the league, a guy who drives a lot of the Leafs' offense. And while they still have a pretty deep forward group, you know, it's a big loss. And you know, I think the fact that he's had some shoulder issues in the past, you know, has led to a little extra concern, probably, maybe more so from fans and the team, but just wondering what his future holds. And you know, I think it does in some ways give William Nylander leverage. But, you know, the one thing I've gotten in talking to at least front office members is that, you know, they're really looking at this and have from the beginning as a long-term decision. And in the short term, I just don't see them, you know, making any rash decisions or you know, getting to a place where they're uncomfortable. They're pretty planned and organized in terms of, you know, where they need this contract to fall. And I don't see them, you know, skewing off that path, at least right now, because even without William Nylander, you know, it's still a team with Nazem Kadri, John Tavares, two guys that have scored 30 goals in the past, you know, Mitch Marner. They're still, you know, quite a bit here offensively. And so the Leafs are going to hope to try to carry on even without their best player in the lineup.
Well, you mentioned William Nylander and what's going on with him. We know that the Carolina Hurricanes sent two scouts to the game at the Scotiabank Arena for Saturday night. Night before that, Kyle Dubas was in Carolina watching the Sharks-Carolina game. Is that normal? Is there a lot? Is that sort of activity between these two clubs, is that trending towards, hey, discussions have taken place and they might be inching closer?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the Hurricanes have a fair level of interest in William Nylander, and that at the very least, you know, they want to be comfortable with, you know, all of Toronto's players in case something happens. I still don't believe the Leafs have got to a place where they're looking to deal William Nylander, where they've had substantial talks, but, you know, other teams are paying attention. There's 25 scouts listed on the board for tonight's game, which is a little higher number than usual. I mean, of course, it's a light night in the NHL schedule, so, you know, it could just be the fact that there's not a lot of other games to spread them out for. But, you know, I do think that teams are at least paying attention to the Leafs and you know, want to be in a position to react should they change their stance on trading William Nylander. I just don't think that's happened yet. There's still, 33 days until he has to be signed to play this season, which, you know, on one hand, it's a short amount of time, but on another, that's a huge amount of time. And you know, I just really don't get the sense that the Leafs are looking to trade him. You know, they believe if they wait that the pressure will mount on the player here to make a decision to sign a contract.
I got to imagine part of that, too, is, CJ, that Kyle Dubas just wants to do some due diligence in case trade talks do get a little bit more serious in a few weeks.
For sure. And look, like all GMs scout, I think that what opened people's minds or eyes last week was just how much Kyle Dubas did. I mean, he literally traversed the continent and was at a different game every day last week. And so, you know, I don't think that that's totally normal behavior, but we have to remember this is a guy who's a first-year GM. I'm sure there's value for him, first of all, in seeing these teams with his own eyes, but, you know, also, you know, being face-to-face with some of his colleagues whom he wouldn't know as well as experienced general managers. And, you know, it isn't totally crazy that he would be out watching hockey games other than the Leafs. So it's tough to know what's going on right now, but you know, I really lean back on every conversation I've had with a member of the Leafs front office has always revolved around signing William Nylander. And as much as I think there's other teams out there that are very interested in you know, trying to acquire him if they can, I just don't get the feeling that the Leafs have really broached that subject yet. And I suppose what will be interesting is if this sort of stare down between the sides continues into November and gets close to that December 1st deadline, if perhaps the Leafs feel they have to have a change in their approach. But, you know, at this point, I still get the feeling that they're pretty they're pretty confident with where they are. I mean, the team's 8-3. You know, it hasn't been a perfect start to the year, but they're in a good position to be a playoff team. And I think that they feel over time William Nylander will be back in their lineup and they'll be better for it.
Chris Johnson, our hockey insider here every Monday at 3 o'clock on Reach Deep Sportsnet 650. So we're always talking trade here in Vancouver when it comes to the rebuild. And last week, you know, Elliot Friedman and our other pal, Dave Pignota, were talking about how there was a lot of scouts checking out Alex Edler, and there seemed to be a lot of interest in him as a pending unrestricted free agent. And of course, he gets hurt the next game. Same goes for Chris Tanev. We always know there's all kinds of trade talk around him as a player, especially over the last couple of years. Now he's injured as well, though it seems not to be that serious. How much does it hurt? Excuse the pun there, but how much does it affect trade value when you have guys that just can't seem to stay healthy, Chris?
Well, I think it would be brought up in the bargaining, right, in the negotiating between the teams that, you know, that maybe the acquiring club doesn't know exactly what they're getting if they can't count on these guys being healthy. But I think what works in Vancouver's favor with these two players is that, you know, realistically, any trade involving either of them probably wouldn't happen really till the new year. You know, January, February, you know, seems to be when we see a lot of veterans, you know, shift teams and you know, kind of rental type decisions. And so, you know, as long as they get back, and I know that there's, you know, a bit of a layoff here, that it's not like they're going to be back in two games. You know, as long as they get back and show they're healthy, I think that they would be players that would still carry a lot of value. And, you know, when I look at the defense market in general, I mean, there's just not a lot of, if you have to get better at that position, there's not a lot of ways to do it other than develop your own guys. I mean, you know, Erik Karlsson obviously remains a big potential free agent name for the coming July 1st. But, you know, beyond him, there really aren't that many type of guys that can make an impact. For X, Jake Gardner, that would be second on that list. And so if you're a team, you know, like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and there are others out there that don't feel good at where they're at in that position or feel as though they might need to beef things up. I mean, there's only so many places you can look. And so, you know, I still think as long as, you know, Edler and Tanev can get back and play games and you know, show what they've certainly a version of what they've been in the past, that they would have value on the trade market, you know, as we get much closer to the trade deadline. But, you know, it's not ideal for the players to be out on a personal level, and it doesn't do much for their value. And given that they both have some injury histories, that, you know, it will be something I think that gives other teams pause. So, you know, the priority should be on getting them healthy and you know, being able to show that they can still play once they do return to the lineup. And you know, I'm sure there'll be interest should the Canucks decide to move them.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by our Sports and NHL insider, Chris Johnson. Chris, last week we talked about LA and how the coaching hot seat was the coaching seat was kind of warming up there with John Stevens. This week seems like St. Louis can be added to that mix as well with Mike Yeo. What do you think at what point do you think they start hitting the panic button? I know that's kind of been mixed reviews to start off the year, but with Doug Armstrong there in the win now mode, is Mike Yeo legitimately under pressure to deliver immediately?
Well, both of those coaches are. I think John Stevens in LA and Mike Yeo both have to, they're feeling it. I mean, there's no way around it. What's interesting is both teams are in the early stages of seven game homestands. And so I think, you know, especially being on home ice, and they both just won their last game, so that you know, eases things for a day or two, you know, maybe turns down the heat a notch. But, you know, they need to turn things around very quickly. I mean, we've seen in this league, it's so hard if you dig a hole early in the year to get out of it. If you're not in a playoff spot typically by the end of October or, you know, U.S. Thanksgiving a couple weeks from now, you know, very few teams that aren't in a playoff spot around that time are able to get there by the end of the season with the number of three-point games and the like in the league. So, you know, I think that there's a huge amount of pressure in both of these situations. I don't sense that a change is imminent, you know, today or tomorrow. But, you know, if the losing continues, I don't think that the leash for either guy is particularly long. And look, Mike Yeo himself referenced that last week, you know, after they lost the game to Columbus, and he said his job should be in question. I think that's not just him musing. I think that's a reflection of how he's feeling about the situation. He knows that you know, there is the possibility that he could lose his job. And so, you know, all those guys can focus on is winning now. And you know, I think that it could come to a head if things don't turn around, especially with all those games at home and the possibility that the fans start turning on the team and those sorts of things. I mean, that historically has been sometimes a trigger for teams, you know, the final push to make a move.
CJ, we had the big announcement of the NHL partnering up with MGM and getting into that side of sports betting now that it is becoming more legal in the U.S. Right now, it doesn't affect us Canadians all that much. I mean, we can't get in on that unless we are down south of the border. So how does this affect the NHL moving forward? Like, how does it affect the day-to-day operations? Does it have any kind of effect on how the league operates in the future?
Well, I think the biggest effect is that this signals a true sea change in how the league views these sorts of things. And so, you know, this deal specifically, won't have, and we don't have the financial terms, but it's not going to significantly alter, say, where the salary cap is. It's not that big of a transaction that was made. But I think that this shows where the league wants to go. And you know, the fact that MGM didn't get exclusive rights to these things, you know, which means that other gaming books are likely to be officially licensed partners of the NHL as we go forward, that there will be future deals like this. And I would think as legislation changes, potentially in Canada, that will include, big changes here in our country. So, you know, what it does is it tells us the league is open for business in this way. They're going to have the player tracking, or they're due to have the player tracking. Finally, you know, it's been much discussed in the last 3 or 4 years, but finally in place for next season. And that's going to be a key part of what, MGM gets and what future partners in gambling with the league will get. And it's going to, the league hopes, be another avenue to attract fans, maybe people that aren't is dialed into hockey now, but, you know, are making prop bets through a company like MGM and using all that player tracking data. So, you know, this is sort of the first small step for the league, but I think it's a giant leap from where they've been, because historically they were adamant, Gary Bettman was adamant against any sort of legalized gambling. And you know, ever since the U.S. Supreme Court decision in May to pave the way for gambling to be legal in the U.S., they've had an about face on that, and they see it as something where they can maybe, I think, take a few more risks than the other leagues, and go into this even more heavy, and what they hope is, first of all, generate revenue, which is shared between the players and the league, but also maybe grow the game as well by opening themselves for this type of business.
Sportsnet 650.